like to warmly welcome everyone to the Wednesday gathering. It's a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by the Foundation for Prayerful Living and open to all. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. I'll be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Holy Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Now from the Holy Bible, and I'll begin with Psalms and Genesis. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now from Numbers. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, See the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether it be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring the fruit of the land. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses, and to Aaron, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and their cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come from the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now from Isaiah and 1 Samuel. Take heed, and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now from 1 Chronicles, Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And from Judges. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at the time. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee. Notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Now, from the New Testament, from, first of all, St. Mark. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do to thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now, from Acts. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into a ship of Adramyttium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coast of Asia. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. After long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete to have this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, in whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. When the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now from 2 Corinthians and John. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And finally from Psalms, Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now I'll read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which is the Christian Science textbook. When the ocean is stirred by a storm, then the clouds lower. The wind shrieks through the tightened shrouds, and the waves lift themselves into mountains. We ask the helmsman, Do you know your course? Can you steer safely amid the storm? He answers bravely, but even the dauntless seaman is not sure of his safety. Nautical science is not equal to the science of mind. Yet, acting up to his highest understanding, firm at the post of duty, the mariner works on and awaits the issue. When Columbus gave freer breath to the globe, ignorance and superstition chained the limbs of the brave old navigator, and disgrace and starvation stared him in the face. But sterner still would have been his fate if his discovery had undermined the favorite inclinations of a sensuous philosophy. Copernicus mapped out the stellar system, and before he spake, astrography was chaotic, and heavenly fields were incorrectly explored. The Chaldean wise men read in the stars the fate of empires and the fortunes of men, though no higher revelation than the horoscope was to them displayed upon the Empyrean. Earth and heaven were bright, and bird and blossom were glad in God's perennial and happy sunshine, golden with truth. So we have goodness and beauty to gladden the heart. But man left the hypotheses of material sense, unexplained by science, is as the wandering comet or the desolate star, a weary searcher for a viewless home. In the material world, thought has brought to light with great rapidity many useful wonders. With like activity, has thought's swift pinions been rising towards the realm of the real, to the spiritual cause of those lower things which give impulse to inquiry. Belief in a material basis, from which may be deduced all rationality, is slowly yielding to the idea of a metaphysical basis, looking away from matter to mind as the cause of every effect. Materialistic hypotheses challenge metaphysics to meet in final combat. In this revolutionary period, like the shepherd boy with the sling, woman goes forth to battle with Goliath. Union of the masculine and feminine qualities constitutes completeness. The masculine mind reaches a higher tone through certain elements of the feminine, while the feminine mind gains courage and strength through masculine qualities. It requires courage to utter truth, for the higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will ever scream, until its inarticulate sound is forever silenced in oblivion. Truth, cross-questioning man as to his knowledge of error, finds woman the first to confess her fault. She says, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat," as much as to say in meek penitence, "Neither man nor God shall father my fault." She has already learned that corporeal sense is the serpent. Hence, she is first to abandon the belief in the material origin of man and to discern spiritual creation. This hereafter enabled woman to be the mother of Jesus and to behold at the sepulchre the risen Savior, who is soon to manifest the deathless man of God's creating. This enabled woman to be first to interpret the scriptures in their true sense, which reveals the spiritual origin of man. Moses advanced the nation to the worship of God in spirit instead of matter, and illustrated the grand human capacities of being bestowed by immortal mind. The definition of Moses, a corporeal mortal, moral courage. There is too much animal courage in society and not sufficient moral courage. Christians must take up arms against error at home and abroad. They must grapple with sin in themselves and in others, and continue this warfare until they have finished their course. If they keep the faith, they will have the crown of rejoicing. Moral courage is requisite to meet the wrong and proclaim the right. But how shall we reform the man who has more animal than moral courage, and who has not the true idea of good? Through human consciousness, convince the mortal of his mistake in seeking material sense for gaining happiness. Reason is the most active human faculty. Let that inform the sentiments and awaken the man's dormant sense of moral obligation. And by degrees, he will learn the nothingness of the pleasures of human sense and the grandeur and bliss of a spiritual sense, which silences the material or corporeal. The moral man has no fear that he will commit a murder, and he should be as fearless on the question of disease. Sin and sickness will abate and seem less real as we approach the scientific period in which mortal sense is subdued and all that is unlike the true likeness disappears. Consumptive patients always show great hopefulness and courage, even when they are supposed to be in hopeless danger. Give sick people credit for sometimes knowing more than their doctors. Always support their trust in the power of mind to sustain the body. Never tell the sick that they have more courage than strength. Tell them, rather, that their strength is in proportion to their courage. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation, irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case, and he proportionately strengthens his patient with a stimulus of courage and conscious power. Moral courage is the lion of the tribe of Judah, the king of the mental realm. Free and fearless, it roams in the forest. Undisturbed, it lies in the open field or rests in green pastures beside the still waters. In a figurative transmission from the divine thought to the human, diligence, promptness, and perseverance are likened to the cattle upon a thousand hills. They carry the baggage of stern resolve and keep pace with highest purpose.